Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Yes, you have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering hope for and help for men. We talk primarily to men because that's what we are and that's what we do. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17. That's one of the scriptures that we stand behind because we believe it's all about being able to be sharpened, to be able to be used precisely the way that the Lord wants us to be used. And so in doing so, I can't do this by myself. I can't sharpen myself. May have attempted to do that before in the past. It just has never worked. And all that does is create a lot of havoc in my life. So in the studio with me today to help sharpen me at times, I got Dave in the studio. Good to have you, brother.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
Good to have you, man. Well, we have a topic today that we're going to be talking about that I believe the majority of us can relate to. And it's dealing with guilt. Dealing with guilt and how do we deal with that? And do we have to deal with it? Can't it just go away? Where is that guilt train? Let's put it on there and see it go away. Just wave it bye-bye. Maybe there's, but we'll talk about that here momentarily and everything. In the meantime, we always like to kind of kick it off with a little bit of encouragement, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to do with our topic, but Dave, you got anything in store or anything you're thinking about?
The encouragement I have is, you know, God is really good to us, and he knows what our needs are, and it's great when the Lord works in our lives and gives us feedback. You know, he gives us feedback. He knows what our needs are spiritually. And one example I had last week was our struggles with sin. And I read a devotion, and it just kind of wrapped up our struggles with sin and how sin originated and how today the enemy continues to try to deceive us and, you know, send us into different directions just through temptation, through the world and everything. And, and it's just good that God is constantly working in us and, you know, doing preventative maintenance, as I would call it. You know, he cares for us and, you know, he knows what struggles we're going to face and he doesn't leave us alone. You know, he's constantly there with us.
Yeah.
And we're not doing this walk in our own strength. You know, we can try and we don't succeed. But the Lord is really there to walk us through, encourage us, and to, you know, make our path straight. You know, the Bible says that, you know, man will make plans in his heart, but God will direct his steps. And we can do all kinds of plans, but we have to trust God in the process that throughout the day that he is ultimately going to lead us and direct us and that he's constantly working in us.
Well, he'll do that as long as we allow him to do
that. That's correct, yes.
Because we do have a choice. He's given us free will, and that's a big reason as to how we can get so caught up in challenges of life.
Yes, and choices, I've realized more lately how our choices affect us short-term, long-term, and everything we do, there's a choice. And not all the time is, you know, you may be making a decision and you may have a couple choices and you have to choose what path you're going to take, but one doesn't always mean you know, one's bad and one's good.
Right.
You know, you may be in that option, but, you know, you could have the choice of sin, which is different.
Yes.
You know, which, hey, am I going to look at pornography or am I not? Mm-hmm. Looking at pornography is going to have consequences, definitely.
Yes. Yes.
So there's a choice in that, mm-hmm. you know. Eve had a choice. She was tempted and she, you know, made that choice. She knew what God had said. Mm-hmm. There was no denying. And you look in Scripture that she knew what God said and what the parameters were. But she was deceived, and she chose to very, deviate from God's, what God had commanded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a little delusion going on there and everything. But, you know, that's, you know, the good news is He is with us. And if we keep our eyes on the Lord and seek Him, you know, He will make our path straight.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
I think that apple had to be dipped in either caramel and chocolate at the same time. That could have been part of what
that could have been.
My girls, when they were little, those chocolate dipped apples, they look at those things somewhere. They go, "Oh, I gotta have that," you know.
Yeah.
And we just, for some reason, I don't know why I said that, but it just reminded me of them liking that apple. So, hey, for what rhyme or reason, other than it had to look good, the temptation had to be good.
Yes.
You know, no matter what. Bypass all the calories and everything else. I'm going to eat this thing.
Yes.
Bypass all the fact that I'm going, you know, I'm sinning and I'm changing the whole world that you gave us. I'm going to eat it anyway.
Right.
You know, type of thing.
Well, at the very moment, you don't know what the effects are going to be.
You don't think about those things. So we have to think things through sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Pause. Well, and you mentioned the apple and the caramel. It's kind of like sugar. You know, your mom would always say, hey, don't eat that sugar. You're going to get cavities or you got to brush your teeth and everything. And you don't think of it at the time until your next dentist appointment. And then all of a sudden you got a mouthful of cavities, you know, it's like, oh, geez.
I'll just pull out all the teeth. Give me new ones.
Yeah. I should have listened to my mom.
Yeah.
Or they listen to the dentist, you know.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, good encouragement, brother. Thank you for that. Hey, let's segue right into this thing called guilt. And we're not talking about the guilt, or maybe we are. I don't know. There's guilt that makes you feel like, when you've done something wrong,
yes,
okay, that you feel shame for that. There's a consequence from whatever it was that you did, because it was maybe wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was wrong.
Yep.
You know, you don't feel guilt over doing something good for someone.
Right.
Okay. And guilt, you know, you take that responsibility, or someone gives it to you, say, hey, you're responsible for your actions.
Yes.
And so this is what you ended up doing, and here's what is going to take place.
Okay. Yeah.
So you feel guilty. You go to court because you were speeding. And you sit there and, you know, sometimes you're just there to say, yes, I am, and hoping it gets cut in half because you're there. You make the time to do that sort of thing. But you know that you have to admit guilt. Okay?
Right.
But that may not be the kind of guilt we're talking about here.
No, there's a lot of things that can play with guilt.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that came to my mind was hindsight is everything, you know, that's the saying out there.
2020.
And, you know, I look at some areas in my life where, you know, there's been sin involved, there's been unforgiveness involved, and you don't think of the immediate consequences, but some of these things can come back on you several years later. And what stuck to me on this topic, you know, of guilt is, you know, a process that we can go through mm-hmm. with the Lord, and, you know, by complete direction of through His Word and His Spirit leading us, but it's being free from that. And God doesn't want us to walk around in living in guilt, and it's not an easy thing, because we can come back and we can circle back around and go through those feelings again and have regret and remorse of it. And it can just be a pattern.
Yes.
But Jesus came to set us free from that. Mm-hmm. And I believe in our mind that we need to have that understanding from Him that we are free and guilt free and that we're not condemned, you know, by the things we've done. You know, guilt comes in many forms. You know, it comes in forms of what we've done and what we haven't done. You know, so, you know, you may be called to forgive someone years ago and you never did it and you had a chip on your shoulder. And all of a sudden, years later, you have a broken relationship over that. You know, had you forgiven at the time, you know, that's one form of guilt. Another form would be, geez, I, you know, committed adultery on my wife, or I didn't, you know, didn't lead my wife in prayer. You know, there's all kinds of different things that can, you know, play into having guilty feelings. You know, I think it's a daily thing that, you know, we can feel bad about something. You know, but some people don't feel bad about anything. They got a cold heart and, you know, feelings don't matter.
And sometimes we can take on a sense of guilt out of the fact that we thought that we could control something, a situation or an individual, and then they don't follow through with what we maybe even mentioned to them that they ought to follow.
Yes.
And then we end up feeling guilty, like we didn't do enough.
Right.
You know, and which is almost like a false guilt in a sense. Okay. And but these are the feelings that that keep us from maybe even being used next time around or other opportunities, because we buy in, we believe the lie.
Yes.
Yep. Because sometimes the feeling of guilt is a lie.
Yes. Okay?
Especially when we've asked for forgiveness from the Lord. If we've done something that we know has caused harm into someone else's life, and we go through the process of admitting our wrong to God, and then asking for forgiveness, which when we do ask and with the right heart, we are forgiven. He talks about that and that sin. And when you're forgiven, he puts your sins behind his back or throws them in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be risen again, never to be seen again.
Yep.
You're forgiven, white as snow.
Yes.
And yet we feel, because we see the people or maybe situations or where we were or whatever it may be, that reminds us of that.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden we start to, you know, the enemy has a tendency of being in our heads, in our weaknesses, of saying, see, do you remember this? This is what you did. You remember how it felt?
Yes.
You still feel that way, don't you? You know, and the enemy, and we start believing, yes, I do, yes, I do. And before you know it, you're in a tailspin yourself.
Yes, right? That's right. And, you know, I one of my stories on guilt is that, and the Lord brought it to my attention. And of several years ago, going, you know, through a separation and realizing, you know, at the time that I needed to seek forgiveness and that, you know, I was guilty of, you know, carrying a chip on my shoulder and having unforgiveness. But then there was, you know, the feeling bad of that and everything. So, you know, I prayed regarding this and sought the Lord in direction. So how do I go to, you know, these family members and ask for their forgiveness? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I work through this? And through a period of time, it was like all the steps were orchestrated for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And to go through that process, it was like I knew that, you know, through God's Spirit, he was leading me. And so I went through the whole steps, you know, going through the process, studying it and being encouraged, you know, through the pastor at church, you know, by what he was saying in his sermon. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go through this and do that. And, you know, I was in that one instance, you know, because there's not a formula on this.
Right.
You know, I went and sought forgiveness and apologized for my attitude and everything, and I was set free from that. And to this day, I don't deal with guilt in that situation. I followed the steps that I believed that the Lord wanted me to take in asking for forgiveness. And so that guilt that I had for my actions, I was released from.
Yes.
You know, and the Lord set me free. I did biblically what I was supposed to do, and it was freeing. You know, that was just one instance, you know, of that. But there's other things, you know, I can look at relationships with children and certain things I've done, you know, to hurt the kids or said things that were, you know, not in line. And then you can reflect back on those things and you're like, oh boy, that was awful that, you know, I did that. But then you have to really be careful. You know, you can still ask your children for forgiveness and do the same process. But, you know, the enemy, like you were saying, wants to come around and remind you of your failure. And, you know, God's word is counter to what the enemy is saying to us.
Right, right.
You know, we're automatically guilty by sin, but Jesus paid that price. You know, there's nothing we can do. You know, there's not anything we can do to repay the debt that he already paid for on the cross.
Right, right. You know what? Let's take our first break here so we can give an acknowledgement to those who actually support this ministry here at Faith Place on the radio station and everything. We'll come back. Let's talk some more about, I want to find out more about this thing on guilt. Is this something that, is this a... is there a regular, you've already said it in a sense, not a formula, but steps that need to be taken to be able to relieve us of some of this guilt? But I want to find out more about some of this other guilt that kind of rambles in our brains sometimes. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Dave and I we're dealing with this or talking about this thing called guilt, and we're not talking about the admission of that I did something wrong in court or, you know, you got caught. We're talking about the feeling of guilt more than anything else right now, because this is what stays with us despite the things that we do to try to alleviate it or to deal with it. In some cases, dealing with it is putting it in a box and putting it at the bottom of all the other boxes that have all these other things that I'm going to get to eventually one of these days. But I just don't want to deal with it right now anymore, right? I'm going to procrastinate, you know? And I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm not very good at procrastination. Or I am very good at procrastination. I can actually put things off, but then eventually what ends up happening, they all box. The lids of the boxes all open up at the same time. That's what's the challenging part to that sort of thing. But really what it comes down to is that the different things that we feel guilty over. I mean, I know that you mentioned children. So often we can say things to our children or maybe reprimand them in certain ways that we felt not very good about. And maybe, you know, that we end up going on and on, and as years go by, or maybe we've said something to someone, maybe to a relative that we don't see all the time, but we said something to them when we were at, you know, whether it was a wedding or a funeral or something else, and there was accusations, and my ego got in the way, and I said something, and, you know, turned away, and, you know, now that the last thing that person ever heard me say to them something that was not maybe not very respectful or very nice, okay? It was probably meant to be harmful or hurtful, I should say. And so we carry this stuff, okay? And we try to forget about it, not think about it. And unfortunately, it doesn't just go away, right?
Yes. You know, and an example I have is 20, 30 years, I think it was probably over 30 years ago, I didn't return something to someone that loaned me something.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, that will come to my mind, and I'll think about it, and I feel bad about it, you know? And it's like, yeah, I wish I knew where the person was so that I can make amends to it. You know, mm-hmm. I have no idea where they are. But something, you know, it was a power cord, and I didn't return it to the person.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, it's not that of an expensive item. It doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning. But 30 years later, and it has been 30, it'll pop in my mind that I did not return that cord.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows whatever excuse I had at the time for not taking care of it at that moment.
Right.
You know, but I still, it still comes back and you know, it's, you know, kind of a little, you know, pinprick there.
Yes.
You know, I know God forgives me and all that stuff, but it's just that, you know, the fact that I didn't do it at that time, you know, I didn't return, you know, what I had borrowed. And it's not right. You know, I did something wrong.
Well, so often, and then we end up doing things if you have an attitude, or I should say, if you lived similar to the way that I used to live, there was a time in my life where, you know, alcohol and drugs were a big part of my life. And I used those things to mask a lot of things that I was feeling, okay, or didn't want to feel.
Right.
I was hoping those things would help keep it down in a sense. And what that did is that that opened the door to another arena of creating even more havoc in my life as a result of the alcohol and the drugs that I was consuming at the time that created more things to feel guilty about later on.
Yes.
And some things where I have less recollection of who it was that I harmed and where it was that I did do the harm, you know. And those are things that, you know, I carry with me, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, you know. Thank God, at least in my case, and I know that for many other men, there's guys who have gone through this in recovery, okay, in 12-step recovery, that there is this opportunity of being able to learn how to be able to take care of some of this stuff.
Yes.
If not all of it. I believe all of it can be.
Absolutely.
And eventually will be. And because what ends up happening is that we become aware of certain things. You know, there's something about the Bible talks about the Lord reminds us, says that if you seek me with everything that you have, okay, I will reveal more of who I am to you.
Yes.
That's my little paraphrase, okay? And what ends up taking place is that when he reveals more of who he is to me, actually reminds me, because he wants something taken care of, whether it's forgiveness or making amends, in a sense, he actually reminds me precisely who that individual is or where that situation, you know, what it was that I can actually do today to make that right, okay? And it's just, only God can orchestrate these type of things, seriously.
Yes, that's
first,
right.
By giving me and putting me in a position of getting my act cleaned up, so to speak, of taking responsibility for my actions, okay, and then realizing that it's because of my actions that I thought, oh, I'll never see that person again. I never don't have to worry about it. Well, you know, probably maybe I don't have to worry about what they're thinking about, but I'm going to be thinking about everything that I did.
Yes.
Okay. And unfortunately, I've got to live with me.
That's right.
Right. And that, unfortunately or fortunately, is the opportunity to be able to springboard into taking the action necessary to relieve myself and ask for forgiveness or to make amends in those situations.
Yes, that's right.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, through that process, I don't know if you want to jump into that now, you know, of how we can move beyond that, you know, the feelings of guilt. How do we get free of that?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, for me, it's kind of like when you have something that is physically done to you, Okay. As an example, on my left hand, on top of my hand, I have a burn scar. I had a third degree burn on my hand when I was 9 months old. Okay. And it covered my whole hand. And as I grew up, it became smaller and smaller. It's just on the backside of my hand. It used to cover my fingers and everything. But the skin has, anyway, this has gotten smaller but it covered my whole hand at one time. The point is that there was pain that came with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I no longer recall the pain. Okay. And I don't recall the whole situation because I was pretty young at the time. But I knew that something had happened every time I see my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I see the scar. We all have scars from different situations, different things. And, yes, when we see the scars, the physical scar, we are reminded of what had taken place.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's going to bring up either a lack of forgiveness or maybe an opportunity to forgive. And in either case, or maybe make amends, whatever, the point being is that we live with these scars. And this is what ends up taking place. We may have taken care of the situation. Maybe there was an amends made. Maybe there was forgiveness that was given, okay? And it was like, okay, everything's okay now. But in going back, this is where the enemy works. The accuser, that's what he is.
Yes.
He comes back and he says, remember this? I don't think that they really meant that they were sorry for
right.
doing that.
Yeah.
I think they just do it just because, you know, and you should be upset. And you know what? And on and on and on and on. You give the accuser a little bit of your attention, you know, because he mixes in truth with a lie.
Yep.
Okay. And to make it seem like it's, you know, acceptable. And I can eat that. I can buy that. Yeah, I'll take that. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're sitting there thinking negative stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're forgetting about the Lord and what his word says.
Oh, you're forgetting about not just the Lord, everything else in your life. Because all of a sudden guess what he does? The accuser. He starts reminding you of some of the other scars that you have.
Yes.
Some of the other things that take place, before you know it, you're in a real tailspin.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're in, like I was, in recovery of, you know, from alcohol or drugs, you start considering that maybe that's the way I need to go.
Yeah. You went from sitting on the couch to laying on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Or from there looking at the water on a beach somewhere on a rock, and all of a sudden, before I know it, I'm sitting there thinking about going into a bar or something, right?
Yep.
And, but that's how that works. Now, does that mean that there wasn't complete forgiveness before that was taken care of on my part? No. It's just a memory. It's something that has taken place. But this is where this is where I believe fellowship is so important for us.
Yes. And having these conversations
exactly.
with other brothers.
Exactly. Because when somebody gets to know who you are, when we allow somebody to know how we feel about certain things or things that have taken place in us, all of a sudden that's someone that you can actually go to be able to say, you know what, I just had this memory, this thought today. It took me back, you know, 30 years or 17 years or 6 months or whatever it was to a time when I, you know, I thought everything was taken care of, but now I'm feeling this way right now.
Yeah.
And it's not good. Now you've got a brother or another individual, okay, that you can share with about that sort of thing. And I say individual because maybe it's your wife, you know. Maybe it truly is a relative of yours that you can actually go to, you know. But as men, we have a tendency of not necessarily trying to just deal with things ourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'll ask for the information if I need it. I'll get some information, and then that's all as far as I want to go. I don't want to talk to anybody else about it because there's all that stuff carries shame.
Yes.
With it, right?
Yeah, and you have to humble yourself, you know, in order to, you know, go to that other person, you know, if there is, you know, shame there and,
right.
you know, now, there's a lot of things that play into it.
And some of this stuff, and now we're talking about the guys who've actually taken care of the business of actually in a situation where we needed to make amends.
Right.
We needed to take responsibility for our actions and the consequences for our actions. Okay. And it may not just be the fact that we had to pay a fine or maybe even do jail time or whatever it may have been that we've done that. But in our heart, did we really ask for forgiveness?
Yeah. And I believe we do ask for forgiveness, mm-hmm. you know, like everything you're saying. And that, but the enemy's there constantly beating you up.
Right.
And then trying to remind you that, hey, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of, you know, being with these people or praying for these people. You know, how can you, say what you're saying when you've done all these things?
Right. And I understand what you're saying, and I'm in agreement with that, but I'm still looking and talking to the guys who maybe have not done that stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Who are still living the avoidance factor of that this has happened to me or I'm responsible for. You're still taking no responsibility for your actions.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not what we're called to do. You know, in Colossians 3, I believe it is, it tells us how we are to live in there. You know, our lives today as followers of Jesus Christ, okay, and how we are to be able to walk in this world and giving him our full attention in everything that we do,
yeah.
acknowledging him in everything that takes place. Because as a result of that, he's going to allow certain things to come up that he wants me to deal with.
Yes.
I mean, all of a sudden, have you ever driven down the road or been busy at work or doing or traveling or whatever, but you're all of a sudden a thought comes in that, whoa, I didn't deal with that.
Oh yeah.
I think I owe that person, an amends. I need to go and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, and then immediately in the flesh, my flesh says, oh, no, you don't have to do that. No, just let it go. It's been too long, too worrisome. Don't have to worry about that sort of thing. Then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're sitting there and you're battling within yourself on what ought to take place
yeah.
and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then the accuser all of a sudden reminds you of all those other things, and before you know it, you're being inundated.
That's right.
Now, you do a lot of traveling on the planes. Sometimes there's a lot of conversations between strangers that sometimes you can talk with a stranger better than you can with somebody that you know.
Yep.
About situations,
yeah,
right?
Sometimes, yeah. But, you know, when that happens, there's no meaning to it. You know, it's
yes.
it's kind of a, you know, especially if they're not a Christian and you're having a conversation.
Yes.
You know, it's really, it's surface. There's nothing in depth.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Occasionally you'll run into somebody, and I admire people that can be transparent,
mm-hmm.
you know, that will just open up.
Yeah.
You know, there are people out there yep. that are very transparent. And it's, to me, it's like, it's a gift
mm-hmm.
to be transparent, because a lot of times we don't want anybody to see into our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there are some people that are transparent and they just open right up like a, you know, there's no cover on their book.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's all open.
Those people who are transparent like that, they're also gifted with wisdom of knowing when they ought to be transparent.
Yes.
You know, people are always just transparent. Oh, you could know everything that's in my life. That could be a little challenging. That could be known as a mental disorder in some cases. Hey, let's take a break. Let's come back and let's continue talking about maybe how we deal with this thing called guilt and what's the best way for us to be able to live with some of these things that maybe we only thought we had taken care of. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Dave and Raul. Okay, we're still talking about guilt, and there's so many things about this that, you know, so many aspects of it. And, I mean, I was reading an article where it talked about true guilt, false guilt, you know, and then you have, of course, the, you know, just being guilty, taking responsibility for what has taken place in our lives and willing to admit that to somebody else and to go that route. There are so many ways of being able to see this and deal with this, and we don't have enough time in the less than an hour time that we do on this program. But I think part of what we need to do is to, let's move forward here possibly into some of the things that need to take place in our lives when we know that there is something, maybe there is a feeling or something reminds you of something that you maybe have not done that you kind of feel like you need to take care of, okay? Maybe that guilt is more of a conviction than a guilt.
Yes.
Maybe it truly is coming from the Holy Spirit within us that's saying that, you know what, you need to deal with this.
Yep.
You need to take care of the business. It may not just be guilt in the sense that it comes from the enemy, that the accuser is trying to press in on you, but it truly is conviction that the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to take care of business.
Yes, and I believe that the Lord would want to remind us and everyone listening of Psalm 103, and it's in verse 10 where David says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. You know, the Lord has forgiven us.
Yes.
And
yes.
has set us free.
Right.
And we need to be reminded of that first, that he does not hold us guilty and he's not the one, you know, he's reminding us, yes, we have things to deal with, but he's not condemning us or making us feel guilty, you know, these feelings, and he wants us to be free from those so that we can freely love him and love others and not be controlled by these feelings.
Well, he gives us the discernment to be able to know what the difference is, again, between feeling guilty about something and being convicted.
Yes.
Okay, and taking care of it. Yes, we have to pay the consequence of what it is for our actions. If that means that, hey, I'm just going to just, you know, feel kind of remorseful for a while, then I have to grieve that in a sense. I have to go through that.
I was going to say, Psalm 51 is a great example.
Yes, absolutely.
Of, you know, being convicted. Mm-hmm. But the conviction came through another person, you know, reminding him, you know, of his sin.
Yes.
But
yes.
Psalm 51 is a great place to go to as, you know, a resource of God's grace and love and how he convicts.
And he's not going to give you a verse because you have to read all of Psalm 51.
Right.
Just read all of it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, we have to take responsibility for the things that we've done. That's part of becoming the mighty men that God wants us to be, the man that he had intended us to be. We need to get this stuff out of the way because a lot of this stuff will just impede our progress in coming to know the Lord.
Yep.
And being able to bring the hope and the joy of the Lord into others' lives by reflecting through our actions and what we end up doing. You know, so often many of the stuff that conviction or the guilt gets us thinking about that we need to take care of, nobody wants to have to go through it. But brother, I just want to remind you that the boogeyman is a lot smaller than you think he is in your mind.
Yes.
I mean, the fear is always greater than the actual action of walking through it. But if you try to do it by just pulling up your own bootstraps, the enemy will take you down.
Yes.
You've got to be connected. You have to stay connected in the vine.
Yeah, and that was one of the things we talked about at the break, was staying connected with brothers and talking, you know, and sharing your heart openly with fellow believers through this process. And one of the ways that we can be free is to confess, you know, all known, anything, you know, confess anything that we know that comes to mind, and seek the Lord in that. One of the scriptures I have here is, and you can pray this, is in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, and David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way with me, and lead me in the way of everlasting."
Yes.
And the Lord will do that. You know, if we talk to him and seek him in this, he will lead us and bring us to that place of freedom in guilt.
And all the more reason that you will always hear from the show, no matter what topic it is that we try to get you encouraged to get into the Word of God, because there you're going to find truth. And where there is truth, there is going to be light, okay? And you're going to find that there are other brothers who are willing to walk with you along this path to be able to remind you that you're not alone in the challenges that are taking place, and that there are others who are willing to say, "Hey, I want to give what has been given to me freely. I want to give it to you freely." But we have to be willing to reach out and be willing to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. Others see me a certain way, so I'm willing to allow them to look at me, to be able to tell me what you think. Does this fall in line?"
Yes.
And it usually comes with someone that you know that you respect, that you know is seeking God. And in doing so, they're not going to tell you how to live. They're going to probably tell you how they lived. And if that fits for you, then you're going to take it on.
Yeah. And the great thing is, in God's Word, he gives us so many examples of all of this that we're talking about. And one of them we have here in Psalm 32 is, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, mm-hmm. whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I keep silent, my bones waste away, through my groaning all day long. For the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer." And these are the very things in God's Word that we're talking about, you know. And, you know, his spirit is right there working with us and wants us to bring us to that place.
And if you're at that place where you hear the Word being shared with you, and you end up taking that on, and you start to feel not so comfortable, that's okay. Take it to the Lord. Just yourself. Spend time with him and ask him, "Do you want me to do something about this?"
Yes.
Ask him, and then wait for the answer. You know, he's not going to reply like you're talking to somebody on the cell phone, not necessarily. It may just be a prompting on your heart. Or maybe you'll get a visit from another brother who all of a sudden brings something up that calls you up, or you connect up for whatever reason, that maybe God had intended you to be able to talk with this brother.
Yeah, that's right. And I would encourage anybody today that's, you know, inspired and touched by this, you know, to read Psalm 51 and read Psalm 32. Mm-hmm. And in more in Psalm 32, and starting in verse 6, it says, "Therefore, let anyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him." Then he says, I kind of lost it here. "You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance."
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good our Lord is. But
here's what takes place. You end up hearing this, and you end up taking the action necessary to go and make amends or give forgiveness. But yet we still ride it out sometimes. We still go back to it when the accuser reminds you of some things in your life that maybe you've already dealt with.
Yes.
Maybe you do need to deal with it a little bit more. Maybe there's a little bit more depth to it, or maybe there's something that has been missed.
Okay? Yeah, maybe you just haven't talked to the Lord about it.
The discipline of the Lord comes because he loves you. The Lord's discipline comes because he loves you. You need to know that, all right? Because he wants you to be a different man than you are today. He wants you to be better at what he wants you to be doing than you are today.
Yes.
And it's only because there are people in your life that you influence. It may be your wife. It may be your children. It may be your brothers and sisters. It may be your parents. It may be people that you work with. It may be people that you live near. But there are people that you can influence, and the Lord wants you to be able to reach them, because there's no one else that's going to be able to reach them. It may only be you that will be able to do that.
Yeah.
So you need to take care of the business at hand that is keeping you from doing that, brother. So there's our encouragement to you. Talk about guilt. Man, we talk all day about it. But you got to do it. You got to take care of the business.
Yes.
Well, how about praying for our brothers who are listening, man?
All right. We'll do that. Well, Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for this topic, and we thank you, Lord, that you give us freedom from guilt and condemnation. And, Lord, I just pray for our brothers out there listening that you would just speak into their hearts, Lord, what it would be in any areas that they're struggling with, and bring freedom into that. And we thank you, God, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.